In discussing the Mishnah teaches that within 3 days of the festival of the non-Jews, we have either an issue to be concerned with of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, let's not cause them to be sinning, enabling them to sin by providing them with the animals that they're going to use on their festival, or we have an issue of we don't want them to be more happy and upbeat, and we shouldn't be doing business with them then, because then they're going to go and praise their God more, and it'll be a violation of Avodah Zarah law, lo yishama al picha, it shall not be heard because of your mouth, the praise of a foreign God. And therefore we can't do business with them. However, we said, right, Muslims are not idolaters, good point. However, the Gemara said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was of the opinion that it depends on the type of loan that the Jew is trying to collect from the non-Jew. If the Jew is trying to collect from the non-Jew a loan that is a written loan, a loan that there's a document about, so then, yeah, don't collect it within the 3 days of the festival, because you can collect it later. But if the loan is an oral loan, so if you don't collect it now, you might not be able to ever collect it. So then, kimatzel miyadam, he's like saving from their hands, he's allowed to collect it even within the 3 days close to their festival.
Sorry, Rabbi, actually, I think it's kind of interesting, we say that with the Islam,
they're not idolaters.
It's not idolaters, right? But if you ask a Christian, he will say he's a monotheist, right? For sure.
Okay, but normally they dealt with the Catholics. And the cat, they didn't really deal so much with the Protestants. Protestantism didn't exist in the days of Rashi and Tosos. The Catholics have a very strong
Trinity.
They have three. Now, Tosos did say that he didn't think that they were Christians anymore. I mean, he didn't think they were idolaters anymore. That was the first Tosos. And the Meiri says he doesn't think that they're idolaters. But many, many authorities thought they did, that they were. So now, three lines on the bottom. Yosef, Rav Yosef, Achordi, Rav Abi. Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Abba. The Yosef Rav Abba came to Rav Huna. And Rav Abba was sitting in front of Rav Huna. The Yosef of Karmani was sitting and saying, Hilchasak Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Halach is like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. We'll see in regards to what? In regards to our Gemara. Hilchasak Rav Yehuda. Halach is like Rav Yehuda. Hilchasak Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Damar. Halach is like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. We just said that if the loan is an oral loan, it can be collected within 3 days of the festival. Let's look at Yehuda in regards to the laws of theft. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Now, normally, when we think of theft, we think of somebody taking property against the will of the original owner. But here we learn the following in a Braisa. Hano Saint Samar Litzaba. The owner willfully gave the wool to a dyer to dye the wool. It's Balo Adam. I hired the dyer to make my wool, to make my material red. But he didn't do the right thing. Vitzavo shachar. He dyed it black. Or I hired him to make it shachar, to make it black. Vitzavo adam when he tired, and he made it red. So now how do we define that? Do we say that that's theft? Because he now has my property under the wrong conditions. He's entitled to my property to make it black. But he's not entitled to my property to make it red. So it's theft. And once it's theft, let's say it's theft with a shinui. Theft with the change of the object. Changing it from being plain to being red. So shinui kone, when a person changes the object, the thief acquires it, and then the thief just has to pay for what he stole, but he keeps the object itself. So that's the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer, that the dyer has become a thief, and he is a thief who has changed an object, and changed object is acquired by the thief. So no simot mate simro, he pays for plain wool, because that's what he stole. He stole plain wool. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not a thief. Not a thief. Why? Maybe rabbinically it's not a thief. Because it's not a normal theft where somebody comes and takes away property against somebody else's will. He got the property willfully. He just did the wrong thing with the property. Instead of making it black wool, which is what he was contracted to do, he made it into red wool. So the sages fined him. They said, you know what? You're going to lose. You're going to lose. We're going to punish you for your behavior. To pay for the wool, no, that's not fair. That would be just stealing from the... That would be to treat you like a thief. You're not really a thief. What we're going to do is like this. We're going to say, maybe the deal was, here's wool, dye it black, and I'll pay you $100. He dyed it red. So I don't have to pay him $100. What do I have? I get the wool back. What do I pay him? I pay him the least possible amount. So therefore, imashavach yeser layitzia, if it being a red wool, the improvement is more than his expenses in making it into a red wool, no sin lo sayitzia. I, the owner of the wool, just give him his expenses. Imayitzia yeser layitzia, and if his expenses are more than that improvement, so no sin lo sayitzia, I give him the improvement. Okay, so we have here an argument. According to Yehuda, HaMeshaneh, craftsman who changes from what he was contracted to do, is not a thief, but there's a knas, there's a fine. He doesn't get paid what he had originally been promised. He gets paid the least possible number. And according to Rabbi Meir, once he was Meshaneh, he's a regular thief.
Didn't we read this in... We went through this.
Yes, we've learned this in Bava Kamma, very much so. That's right. So again, let's review what was going on here. Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Abba, and Rav Abba was sitting behind Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, Halach is like Rav Yehuda. Halach is like Rav Yehuda in this case, that the craftsman is not a thief. The craftsman will get paid the least reasonable number. Okay. Adrinu Rav Yosef La'ape. So Rav Yosef turns his face and he said like this to Rav Huna. Bishma Allah Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, to tell me that Allah and our issue is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that when it comes to doing business with a non-Jew 3 days before the festival, normally you're not allowed to collect a loan from the non-Jew. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says you could collect a loan from the non-Jew if it's a loan that's oral. To say that Allah is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, it's just, I need that. Chasakadai, the Chamina would have thought to say, Yachad v'ram halacha k'rabim. When you have an individual, and he's arguing against the group, halacha's like the group. Kamashman, that's what you needed to tell me. Halacha k'yachad, halacha's like the individual, Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha. Ela halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, but for you, Rav Huna, to tell me that halacha's like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to the craftsman who changes from what he was supposed to do, and he's not treated as a regular thief, but rather he's fined and he gets paid the least possible amount. Tell me, Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Lamali, why do I need to tell me that? Pshita, it's obvious that that's the case. Machlokas v'achakach stam, when you have in a Mishnah an argument, and then later you have another Mishnah where that law is presented without it being an argument. Halchasak stam, the halacha is like the stam Mishnah, because we say that originally the sages were arguing, but then they realized that one side was right. So the next time when they dealt with the same issue, they just presented the law as this is the law without saying that it's an argument. So here you have machlokas b'Bava Kamma. In Bava Kamma, you have an argument between a remainder of Yehuda. And later you have a stam Mishnah. Ustam b'Bava Metzia. In Bava Metzia, we have just it being presented. Good morning, good morning. That this is the halacha. It's not as we learned in Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Kala Mishane. Anyone who's a craftsman who changes from what he was supposed to do, he was supposed to make it red and instead he made it black, then Yadu Ala Tachtona, he's in the weakest situation. It's not that he owns it. It's not that he's entitled to the original wage. He gets paid the smallest possible number. Similarly, V'kala Choser Bo Yadu Ala Tachtona, anyone who changes his mind, he pulls out of a deal. Yadu Ala Tachtona, he gets the lowest possible wage.
Rabbi, if you made a mistake in coloring, why is it called him Ganiv? It's not a Ganiv.
Why would Rabbi Meir think he's a ganav? Because
yeah,
he doesn't have permission to have my property under those conditions. He has permission to my property.
But
if
he
he's
made
still
a mistake. He didn't do it intentionally.
Ganav by mistake is still a ganav. It's somebody else's property. If you have somebody else's property illicitly, you're a ganav. You're a thief.
That's the definition of ganav.
Ganav is not about intention. It's whether you have somebody else's property or not. So here you see, there it doesn't say here, it's Rabbi Yehuda who says it. It says it's the halacha. It says, HaMishana Yadol HaTachtona. So it's a Stam Mishnah. So why do you need Rav Huna? He answers the Gemara. Rav Huna will tell you, Yishum De'ein Seder LeMishnah. Mishnayos are not in order. Maybe that later Mishnah in Bava Metzia was really said first, and the earlier Mishnah in Bava Kamma that has it as an argument was said later. So therefore, from the Mishnayos, you couldn't prove that halacha is that kala mishana, that when someone, a craftsman, changes from the orders that he was given, He just gets paid, but he gets paid the lowest amount. Because then you can suggest, if he ain't say to la Mishnah, really Stam Tana Bereisha, the first Mishnah was really the Stam Mishnah. V'yachakach Machlokes, and the Machlokes Mishnah is later. So Gemara says, if you're going to say that, then you never have this rule. Iyachi, if you're going to say Mishnayos are out of order, and when you think something is first, really it's really second. Second may have really been first. Iyachi, come Machlokes V'yachakach Stam Le'im ain't say to la Mishnah. Anytime you wanted to apply the rule, when you had first the machlokas, but then you have a mishnah without the machlokas anymore, just saying the law, halacha is like the second mishnah, because it means that they argued and argued, but then they came to a conclusion. What do you mean? You can't say that, because maybe the second mishnah is not a second mishnah. Maybe it was the first mishnah, because there's no order to mishnayos. Things are out of order. So the Gemara will tell you like this. Rav Huna, who had to tell you that here, halacha is like Rav Yehuda, and he didn't just rely on the fact that you know that machlokas, and later stam, halacha is like the stam, Rav Huna will tell you, when do I tell you that there's no order to Mishnayos? Within the same Masechta, there's no order. But betray Masechti, but when there's, you know, something in Bava Kama and something else in Sanhedrin in two different Masechtos, I mean, then I agree that there is an order to the Mishnayos. So Rav Yosef will tell you, it's the opposite. In one Masechta, there is an order. In two Masechtos, there's no order. So here, it's between Bava Kama and Bava Metzia. It's two different Masechtos. So if Yosef will tell you, no, Kula Nezikin, Chad Masechti. All of Nezikin is one Masechta. And you're saying that in one Masechta, there is an order. So then the Halacha is already clear. We don't need you to tell me Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. We know it because it's all one Masechta. Because remember, originally, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Bas were one Masechta, like Ahalos and Kalim. They were one Masechta of 30 Prakim. So it would then divide up into three groups. Now, or else I can tell you the reason why Rav Yosef, the reason why I don't need Rav Huna is not just because it's in one Masechta. But he'll say, where did the Mishnah tell us that Hamashana Yadola Tachtona, someone who a craftsman who deviates from the instructions given, He's not a thief, but rather he's at the weakest position. It's listed with other halachos, because it's a masechta above metziah in regards to the topic of a person changing his mind in a deal. And there is just a halacha, kalachozer bo yadol atachtona. So why did it add another halacha? Why does it add another halacha of kalamashana yadol atachtona? It's not the topic of kalamashana. That's, as Baruch told us, bava kama. So why above metziah have it? Because there it's just a list of halachos. So when it's a list of halachas, obviously that's the halacha. So there, the katani lagabi hilchot psikta, it was listed by a series of decided halachas called mishani yadol tachtona. Anyone who changes from the deal he was supposed to do, he's at a disadvantage. The kalachozer bo yadol tachtona. Anyone who changes his mind is at a disadvantage. So of course halacha is that way. So what do I need Rav Huna to tell me halacha is this way? Okay. That completes the discussion of this lesson of Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. And now the Gemara, till the next Mishnah, is going to talk about all sorts of other areas of halacha where Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha said something and is halacha like him. So just to review again, we learned here from Rav Huna. Rav Huna says halacha is like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha in regards to Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Our Mishnah says you're not allowed to do business with the non-Jews before their Yom Tov. The Mishnah is Machadesh. The Mishnah has a new idea. You can't even collect a loan from a non-Jew before his holiday, even though collecting a loan is something that's upsetting to him. It's going to make him happy ultimately. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says it won't make him happy. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha has the compromised position. Because it depends on what type of a loan. If it's a loan you're not going to be able to collect elsewhere, other times, an oral loan, you can collect it before the festival. If it's a loan that you can collect later, because it's a written loan, then you collect it later. Don't collect it before the festival. And now we said halacha is like Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Now other areas of halacha in regards to Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. We know that on Shabbos, we're not allowed to talk business on Shabbos. Can't make a deal on Shabbos. Now, what about telling someone who will work for me that I see on Shabbos, let's get together after Shabbos? Is that already talking business? Because that's already saying get together and we'll work. Or maybe since it didn't explicitly say, okay, you'll work for me and I'll pay you, that's not talking business. So Tana Rabbanu did a braisa. Lo yom ra'adum l'chaver anire, a person shouldn't tell his friend that he saw on Shabbos, shetam arimi l'erev. You know, come stand with me in the evening. You know, it's after Shabbos, come, you know, come to the store. Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha said, you're allowed to. Omer adum l'chaver anire, you can tell your friend that you see on Shabbos, tam arimi l'erev. Stand with me this evening. Okay, here's another halacha of Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha. Hilchos Shabbos. Do we pass him like him? So I'm Rabbi Bachan Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchasak Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha. So Rabbi Bachan has the name Rabbi Yochanan, halacha is like Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha. All right, another topic of halacha. When you ask a shayla to one sage, and you don't like the answer, can you then go to ask another sage? So you get the right answer. The answer you want.
Depends on the percentage.
So Tana Rabbanu Tana Braisa. Hanisha l'chacham. Someone who asks the sage if something is pure or impure. The teammate, the sage says it's impure. Lo yisha l'chacham v'yitzar. Shouldn't then go and ask another sage to try to get it to heart. L'chacham v'asar. If he asks the sage is it kosher or not, the sage says no, it's not, it's prohibited. Lo yisha l'chacham v'yatu. You can't go to another sage to ask, and then that sage will permit. Yushnayim, let's say he asked it in the base medrash, and there are two sages there. So Echad Matami, one says right away it's Tami. Echad Matar, the other one said right away it was Tahar. Or Echad Oser, one says it's not allowed. Echad Matri, one says it's allowed. So then, if they both said it at the same time, and you did the right thing, you just asked the base medrash. If one of them is older, or if one of them is greater in number. So, greater in number means... number of years. Yeah, and the other one is greater, I guess, in wisdom. Either greater in wisdom or greater in years, right? Greater in wisdom or greater in years. Alecha charav, you have to listen to the one who's older. V'im lav, but if not, or the one who's wiser. V'im lav, if not, alecha charav machmir. You should always follow the one who's stricter. That's safe. Rabbi Shimon Karchom, Rabbi Shimon Karchom, it depends again. Bishel Torah, if it's a question on a Torah law. Halechachra Machmir, follow the stricter one. Safik Doraisa, Lachumra, Bishel Sfar, and when it's a rabbinic law. Halechachra Mekel, and you follow the more lenient one. I'm Rav Yosef, and again here too, Rav Yosef says, Hilchasak Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Halechas like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. All right, now a fourth matter of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. We learned in Zra'im, in the laws of agricultural law, that Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, went around the land of Israel, and he found Amaratzim, ignorant people, that were being neglectful in some of the agricultural laws. They were giving Tshuva Gedola, but they were not giving Meiser. Meiser is expensive, it's 10%, 20% almost, because you have Meiser Sheni too. They didn't want to do it. So he said, you know what, all the Amaratzim are not trusted in regards to Maestros. And he created a law of Demai. When you get produce from Amaratzim, you have to Iber Maestro, you have to give Maestro again. Because you can't trust that they gave the tithes. And what happens if an Amaretz wants to move up in the world? He wants to become a Chaver. He wants to become a Pharisee. He wants to be trusted. So Tana Rabbanu went in a Braisa, the Kula, and all these people, Shechazu, and if they did Tshuva... We don't accept them ever, according to Rabbi Meir. Once the guy has been established as an Am Haaretz, tough luck, you can't move out of it. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chazu em matmonios, if they did tshuva in private, ein mekablen osan. Okay, that doesn't make them into chaverim. But b'farhes, if they did the tshuva in public, then mekablen osan. Then we do accept them again. Ikadami others say, also divrei b'matmonios, if their sin was in private, if what they did was in private, mekablen osan, then we accept their tshuva back. But bifar hesia, turning to Zion of Ibez, if they sinned in public, then ain't mekablen osan, we don't accept them back. And then Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, omrim, beikach uveinkach, whether they did a sin in private or a sin in public, mekablen osan, we take them back, shenemar, as it says, shuva vanim shovavim, return rebellious children. Rebellious means that it's from public and it's deliberate, and we take them back. And here too, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Ish Kfarako, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Ish Kfarako, so name Rabbi Yochanan, halacha kosa zug, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Halachas like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. So we have four issues of halacha, totally varied. The issue of collecting a loan that's oral from the non-Jew right before their festival. The issue of, you know, when you get two piskei halacha, should you be should you follow the machmir or the mekel? The issue of Hilchos Shabbos, can you tell someone, come with me tonight, even though you didn't say come work with me, but everybody understands that it means come work with me. And can an Am Haaretz do tshuva for a sin and be accepted again as a chaver and trusted in regards to the maestros? In all of these areas, we're saying halachas like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha.
This sin is for not doing the maaseh, Rabbi?
Yeah, or public sins, other type of public sins that make us feel that he's not trustworthy
anymore.
As long
as in public he does the teshuva, that's it. He'll be cleaned up again.
It would have to be a wholehearted teshuva. Yeah, he can make it back. That's right. All right, so let's go back to the first mission. The first mission we learned, Lifnei Deyem, before their holidays of the non-Jews, Shlosha Yamim, 3 days, we can't do business with them. That's what we learned in the first Mishnah. Okay, so now we have the second Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel says, Shlosha Lifnei'em, 3 days before the holiday, but also Shlosha Lachrei'em, 3 days after the holiday, no business. Wow, Asri, you can't do business. Because if you do business after the holiday, you might do business before the holiday. So you know what? To keep you from before the holiday, you can't even do business after the holiday with them. Chachamim disagree. Chacham omrim lifnei edeim aser. Before the holiday, you can't do business with them. Achar edeim mutter. After the holiday, you could do business with them.
But Rabbi, the easy ones to know if you could collect the rent.
It's the same. Yeah.
Sounds like
it's a problem.
You have to wait.
He needs to rely on the Tosfos that
but
nowadays
they
do business.
They collect the money, they go buy Matana, and they have no more money to pay him.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. He wants to collect the rent to prevent them from going to their church.
One thing you made a mistake, they're paying me the rent, so it's no problem.
They're not happy. Okay, so be patient, all right? Don't worry.
Amar Rav Tachlifa bar Avdimi, Rav Tachlifa, the son of Avdimi, said, Amar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, Yom Notri. There's a change in Girsa here. The Christian day. Now, we have to change the Girsa because the Christians took it out. So the Notri is from the word Nazareth, Nazareth, because he was from there. He was the Nazarene. So the day of the Nazareth, the day of the Nazarene, which is Sunday, the day of Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who adds 3 days that you're not allowed to do business afterwards, turns out, L'Ola Master, then you can never do business. So you have 3 days before, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. 3 days after, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can never do business with Goyim. You can only do business with Jews. So according with the Christians, you can never do business. According to Bishmael. Okay, now the Chachamim, the sages say, Lifnei Deyem Aser. 3 days before the holiday, you can't do business. The Acher Deyem Mutu, you're allowed to do business with them after the holiday. Chachamim, Ainu Tana Kama. So Chachamim is the same view as the Tana Kama in our Mishnah, right? The first Mishnah said, you can't do business with them 3 days before. It didn't mention anything about after, implying after you're allowed to. So the Gemara says, Hein below Edeini Kabinai. Well, maybe the difference between them is the question of do the 3 days include the festival or the 3 days are besides the festival? Tana Kama, Sava the Tana Kama holds, Hein below Edeini. The 3 days are besides the festival. Rabbanan Basrai and the Rabbanan of the Mishnah, they hold Hein Ve'edim. 3 days include the festival.
So two and one. Be lenient on rabbinical law. So,
right.
But so they're arguing that,
is this a rabbinical law? That's a question. Most authorities think it's a rabbinical law, but there's, I think the Sefer HaChinuch says it's a biblical law even.
How would the 3 days before be biblical? I'm saying you can't do the law.
It's
like
together,
right?
Lo Yishama Picha. If Lo Yishama al Picha is a biblical law, Lifnei even might be a biblical law.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you, exactly. Ibai Yisem, another suggested answer.
So always the biblical laws are negotiable? Is that what you're saying, Rabbi?
The opposite. You have to be strict.
Non-negotiable.
Ibai Yisem, we can say that the difference between the two views, the Chachamim in this Mishnah and the Tana Kama, is Nasa v'Nasa Nika Minayu. If you actually did the business with them, are you not allowed to benefit from the profits? Tanakama Savar Nasavanatan Mutter. The Tanakama says you can't do business 3 days before, and if you did, okay, you can benefit from the money. Rabbanim Basra Isavi, but these last Rabbanim, they say, Astralas is filatate, you're not allowed to do it. So that's saying that Nasavanasan Asr, that even after you did the business, whatever you got would be prohibited. Or a third possibility. You boys saying alternatively, we can tell you the third possibility is the Shmuel Nikabeinar. Maybe they're arguing about the law of Shmuel. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said like this. That Bagola, this is all fine in the land of Israel when Jews are in charge. When Jews are in charge in the land of Israel, so we can get away with discriminating against the non-Jews. But outside of Israel, where we're under the rule of nations, and if we don't do business with them before their holiday, they might beat us up. So then ain't us or Elo Yom Edom. And just the day of the holiday, don't do business. But before you can't, the Tanakam, obviously the Shmuel, the Tanakam holds like Shmuel. So he says 3 days before the holiday, you can't do business. That's implying in the land of Israel. But if you're under the non-Jews in exile, you could. 3 days before, just the holiday, you can't do business. Rabbanan Basrai, whereas the later rabbis, Les Luke the Shmuel, they disagree. They hold that even outside the land of Israel, even where you're under the non-Jewish rule, you can't do business with them 3 days before the festival. By the same on a fourth possibility, what the argument between the two is. The difference between them is the question of Nachum Hamadi. The Tanya Dina Brisa Nachum Hamadi Omer Nachum the Median says, Eino Asur Yom Echa Lifnei Edehem. He says that you're only not allowed to do business with them 1 day before their festival. Erev their festival. Tanakama Lesli to Nachum Hamadi. Tanakama says 3 days. He doesn't agree with Nachum Hamadi. Rabbanan Basrai, the Rabbanan of the latter Mishnah, they didn't say how many days you can't do business with them before. They said Lifnei Edehem Asur before the festival it's prohibited, and Leachar, and afterwards it's prohibited 3 days. I'm saying, and after they said it's permitted. So they're saying before, just 1 day before. Yisluh d'nachum amadi, only 1 day is prohibited, not 3 days before. Gufa, wow, this is a new idea. Nachum amadi omer, we learned in a braisa, Nachum the Median says, Eino asur l'yom echad lifnei edehem. He says it's only 1 day before the festival that you can't do business with them. And we're saying that that's also the view of the sages. Amru lo, other sages said to Nachum Amadi, Nishtake adav avlo nemar. Forget this thing, it was never said. You're wrong, it's not true. Nobody says only 1 day, it's 3 days. 1 second, you say, how could the sages say to Nachum Amadi, nobody says it? We just said, Ikar Rabbanan Basarai dekaim kavasi. We said that the second Mishnah, is like the view of Nachum Amadi. Says the Gemara, Man Chacham, who is the Chacham in the second Mishnah? It's Nachum Amadi, but nobody else agrees with him. So now, we just had a series of halachos from Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha. Now we're going to have things from Nachum Hamadi. So the topic we're going to talk about now is the law that the sages made that you're not allowed to sell a big animal, a thick animal, to a guy. You can't sell a cow to a guy. Why? Because there's a law of Shvisas Behemto. Your cow has to keep Shabbos. If you own a cow, the same way you have to keep Shabbos, your cow has to keep Shabbos. So if I'm going to be allowed to sell my cow to a guy, maybe I'm going to forget and I'm going to lend my cow to a guy, and then the guy is going to have my cow work on Shabbos. So therefore, I'm not allowed to sell cows to guy. It's a tinder abanan, not to sell cows to guy. Now, there are other issues also, which is we're not allowed to sell weapons to guy because we assume that they're going to go kill with them. So that's also an issue in selling a big animal to a guy. Sometimes they're going to use it in a war, and that would also be a problem because they're going to use it as a weapon. Okay, but first of all, the issue of Hilchos Shabbos. Time you to put in another braisa. Nachum Amadi, Omer Nachum Amadi says, okay, you can't sell a cow to a guy, but Mochlam Sus Zachar Vizakin B'Mulchama. You can sell to a guy a male old horse during the war, because that's unusual. So since it's an unusual thing, so there the sages never made their decree. Okay. Chacham disagree. Amar lo, they said to him, Nishtakei Adav V'lo Nemar, that's forgotten, it was never said. Don't say such a thing. 1 second, how can you say nobody said such a thing? Vayikra ben Beseira dekoyik havasei. Ben Beseira says this. That's not we learned in a Mishnah. Again, in this parak, you can't sell to a guy a big animal. Ben Beseira matcher besus. Ben Beseira says you can sell to him the horse. So Gemara says, no, it's not the same as Nachum Amadi. Nachum Amadi was rightfully rejected. Ben Beser lo maflag bin schar lo nekevos. Ben Beser is not saying that there's a certain type of horse you can sell. He says you can sell all horses. Nachman Madi said that you can only sell an old male horse. Yehu Nachman Madi midikam maflag bin schar lo nekevos. He's distinguishing between a male horse and a female horse, between an old horse and a young horse. So that's Rabbanan Svirle. That must mean that he holds like the Rabbanan that generally you can't sell horses to Gayim. Why can't you sell horses to Gayim? Because Gayim are going to use the horse as a weapon, and they're going to trample people with the horse. And you can't be part of helping the Gayim go to war and killing people, because the Gayim kill.
So, Rabbi, so we can't sell military equipment to...
Yeah, seemingly, it's an issue. Selling military equipment to Gayim is an issue. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had actually a scholar in residence last year who was talking about the whole problem about the Israeli arms industry. So, anyway, the heter that he said, that they
defensive
say, is
weapons.
That they think that the... More so they think if they don't sell, then they won't be able to afford their own industry. So it's really for their own defense. And that through selling, that's a form of helping the security of the country because they're building allies. So it's part of their mitzvah to wage war. All right. Well, the Rabbanan. Now, according to the Rabbanan, who disagree with Ben Becerra. So they'll tell you, Ben Becerra's wrong, and it was rejected. I'm sorry, Nachum Amadi's wrong, and it was totally rejected. All right, another topic of Nachum Amadi and the sages rejecting what he has to say. This is in regards to meiser from a vegetable called sheves. I think it's called vetch. Vetch? V-E-T-C.
The article says it's
dill.
Dill. Okay. Dill.
Yeah.
Dill.
Right. Sheves is the Persian name for it.
Okay, so the halacha is like this. If you pick things before they're finished, they are exempt from meiser. Now, it really depends what it was planted for. It was planted to produce seeds. So then once the seeds are finished, it's obligated in meiser. Planted for the leaves, and once the leaves are done, it's obligated in meiser. So Tan Lundin Abraisa, Nachmad Yomra Sheves, Dil, Miss Aser, Yuzera. You would be obligated in meiser if you picked it when it was already seeds, or Yerek, or if you didn't let it grow to be the point of seeds, it's just leaves, and you pick it then, it's also, you have to separate meiser. Or zirin, or if you pick it when it had formed husks, because it's eaten like that too, and that's also considered gemar pri. And again, here too, in regards to the laws of meiser, I'm the law, they just tell Nachum Amadi, nishtakei adav v'lo nemar. Forget that, it was never said, you're totally wrong. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it was never said? Ikur b'leza d'kai kavosei. Ikur b'leza says that, as we're going to learn in Maseches Meiser, so Rebbe Lezer says, Hasheves misaseres, Sheves, you take Meiser from Sheves, from Dill, whether it's Zera, whether you're picking seeds, or Yarak, you're picking vegetables, or Zirin, you're picking stalks, husks. So Gemara says, Hasam, Rebbe Lezer is talking about Bidgininusa, with the Dill that grows in gardens. They grow it in gardens, they grow it for the seeds, they grow it for the husks, they grow it for the leaves. Nachum Amadi was talking about things that grow in gardens, plus things that grow in fields. What grows in fields, that's never planted for the vegetables, that's planted for the seeds, and that's what the sages said. Forget about what Nachum Amadi said.
So no meiser?
No meiser when it's just leaves, meiser when it's seeds. I'm a layer of achabar min yumilah, because it's not finished yet when it's leaves. It's only finished once it's seeds. I'm a layer of achabar min yumilah abaye, Rav Acha, the son of min yumilah said to abaye, gavra rabba asama asran, a great rabbi came from our place, from Madai. And that's where I came from also, Rav Acha bar min yumilah said, v'chol mosad amar, any halacha that he suggests, whether it's hilchos meiser, or hilchos shabbos / mechira, or hilchos... Avodah Zara, right? Whatever he says, selling to the non-Jews, whatever he says, you reject. That's not fair, right? Kol Milsadam, whatever he says, Amile, they say to him, Nishtake Adav V'lodab, forget that thing, it was never said, it's totally wrong. Amalo, so Abaye said, Rav Acha bar Min Yumi, don't feel so bad. Ika Chadadav Din Kavase, there is one area of Halacha that we do follow, Nachum Amadi, the time we did a Braisa, in terms of davening. Nachum Amadi Omer, Nachum Amadi says, Shor Alad Mitzracha B'Shomea Tefila. When you're davening Shmona Esrei, if you want to ask for your own things, you can add it into Shmona Esrei in the prayer of Shomea Tfila. So Rachman Ben Yehuda said back to Abaye, Abaye Min Adahi, forget that issue. The Talya Bashla Ravavi, there that halacha is following other big sages, big mount, you know, big trees. The Tanya is lived in a Braisa. Now we have a lengthy discussion about Tfila. Rebbe Lezer, Omer Lezer says, Shol Adam Tzrachav, Yachkach Yispal. A person should ask for his own needs and then daven Shmona Esrei. Shenamar, because it says Tfila, Nikiyat, of a prayer for the poor man when he expresses his needs. Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sichol, then before God he pours out his Siach. Ein Sichol Tfila, Sichol, Shmona Esrei, Shenamar, it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Masadeh, Yitzchak said Shmona Esrei out of the field. Rebbe Yeshua Omer Yispal, of Yachkach Yishal Tzrachav, says the Shmona Esrei, and then he asks for his needs. Shenamar, it says, Yishpoch Lufanav Sichi. And then, after I poured out my Shmona Esrei, Zarasila Fanavagid, I say my needs before him. Rebbe Lezer Nami, 1 second, Rebbe Lezer, it says, Eshpoch Lufanav Sichi, and then Zarasila Fanavagid. Hakam, what that means is, Eshpoch Lufanav Sichi, I'll pour out my Shmona Esrei, Bizman, that's Zarasila Fanavagid, at the time after I already said my needs. Rebbe Shua Nami, it says, Tfilu Alani Giyato, first, the requests, and then Lufne Hashem Eshpoch Sicho. This is what it means. When can I ask for my needs? At the time that I already beforehand already said my Shmona Esrei. 1 second. So, you can read the pasuk any way you want. It's not really clear one way or the other. So, what's the argument? Reb Simloi. It's basically the argument between Reb Simloi is law. The Darsh Reb Simloi lo misadam shvach shom makom. V'yachkach yispal minon Moshe Rabbeinu dechsev Hashem Elokim atoachilos laros savdechok zed basrei ebrana ve'eres haratzatova. Reb Simloi says, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu first praises Hashem, you've shown me all your good, and then he asks for things. Then, please let me go in. So that's the argument here. Do we learn from here also in regards to everybody's personal requests? That first we should praise Hashem and then raise our requests. So first Shmona Esrei and then our requests. Or maybe no, maybe our requests and then Shmona Esrei. Thank you. 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 Thank you.